January often brings an increase in the need for pastoral counseling as people come to talk with me about the gifts that they received at Christmas. So I thought it might be prudent on this third Sunday in Advent with 11 shopping days left to think a bit about gift giving and offer some insights that I have gleaned over the years. I have come to the conclusion that it is generally not a good idea to give someone exercise equipment unless there has been a convincing request for such a gift ahead of time. Now, a simple comment about the need for a workout equipment or a gym membership should not be construed as a convicting request. And it's my recommendation that people generally go nowhere near that possibility in terms of gift giving. I have found that much the same is true for vacuum cleaners, washers and dryers, kitchen appliances, gardening tools, household cleaning supplies, and items only advertised on television that you get an extra one if you call in the next 10 minutes. I trust you're beginning to detect a theme for those gifts which are wise to avoid. That is, gifts that have some practical use and value. But even more important, gifts that will typically require the recipient to actually do some work in order to get some benefit from the gift. I have found that people are generally hoping for gifts that indulge them just the way they are. I know I like getting certificates to go out to eat, to go to movies that will entertain me, candy that has no nutritional value whatsoever, and I've been dreaming of tickets to some college bowl game, which I know would make such an important difference in my life because my previous bowl trips at this time of the year have helped me to grow into such a better person. It is my conclusion, after many January pastoral counseling consultations, that in December, it is best not to give gifts that have any practical value or may actually be helpful to the recipient. If you decide to ignore my advice, please understand that the only thing I can offer in January is that you grovel and beg for forgiveness. Now, while I can offer this helpful advice for your Christmas giving, I regret to inform you that I'm at a complete loss with how to help with God's idea of a gift. We get a sense of this gift in our scripture reading when we are told that Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country. If we were given the kind of gift that God had given to Mary, I suspect that most of us would want to head to the hill country with haste. We know that poor Mary had been minding her own business before that troublemaker Gabriel had shown up with the news that Mary would bear the Christ child. It was Mary who had asked, as I think all of us would have, "How can this be?" I'm not sure that many of us would call that a gift. I can think of a few other names, but gift would not be one of them. This dimension of the Christmas story was captured in a church nativity play which was written, directed, and acted by a class of 9-year-olds. The play opened with a scene at the inn at Bethlehem with Joseph asking the innkeeper for a room. The innkeeper responded, "Can't you see the no vacancy sign?" "Yes," Joseph responded, "but can't you see that my wife is expecting a baby any minute?" To this, the innkeeper replied, "Well, that's not my fault." To which Joseph immediately replied, "Well, it's not my fault either." God's gift of Jesus Christ, even before his birth, creates hardships, headaches, and demands. So Mary, understandably, heads for the hills with haste. And when she arrives, the encounter between her and Elizabeth only confirms that God's idea of a gift is not our idea of a gift. Elizabeth becomes something of a prophet, like the child within would later become, when she declares, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb," and reports that the child within her leaped when she heard Mary's greeting. Now you think Elizabeth could have shown a little sympathy and said something like, "I'm sorry, Mary, about what's happened to you. It's got to be a hard predicament that you're in. It really stinks what's happened." But Mary becomes something of a prophet herself when she responds to Elizabeth's odd greeting by saying things like, "He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." What is that? Lifting up the lowly and sending the rich away empty. Now let's be careful here. Are we really ready to call that a gift? I've got my list all made out for Santa. And here comes Mary declaring that God has God's list made out and that it doesn't look anything like my list. It's enough to make you not want to celebrate Christmas. As we consider God's idea of a gift, it may help us to think about those gifts which have meant the most to us. This year will mark my 56th Christmas celebration, and I would have a difficult time giving you a list of the gifts that I've received at Christmas. I suppose that the majority of them now rest in some dump. But ask me about a time when I really had to give of myself in order to make something possible. When I had to struggle, give up something, sacrifice. Then I'm likely to have a better memory. Now, maybe you don't think that's a gift. But wait a minute before you drift back into the land of candy canes and holly. After my father was placed in a nursing home, I remember his last Christmas when we took him back to his home for the last time. He could no longer sit up in a chair, so I had to arrange to get one of those hospital chairs that fold back. We had to carry him into the house because he was too fragile to walk. I don't remember any of the gifts, but I will always remember the gift of taking him home for that last Christmas. I think it was more of a gift for me than it was for him. After my brother suffered a catastrophic stroke and had to be placed in a nursing home, I will always remember his last Christmas when we gathered in his room and made it clear that there was no other way that we wanted to spend Christmas. There were gifts given, but I trust you understand the most memorable gift given that day. I think it was more of a gift for me than it was for him. My greatest regret is that I have not given such gifts more often. It may just be that God's idea of a gift has much to give us if we are willing to receive it. So God came to a very young woman and a very old woman in our scripture reading today and gave them both a gift that they certainly would have never expected and clearly demanded much of them. It's my impression that God is still in that sort of gift-giving business. Bishop Williman writes, "Our long Advent wait for Jesus was finally over. We gathered in our church on Christmas Eve to joyously welcome him. A great crowd gathered, far more people than we normally have. But we waited and waited, and no Jesus showed up. On Monday at our church's soup kitchen, all of the homeless people were a Twitter. Everyone was talking about the same thing. 'What did you think of him?' one of them asked another. 'He wasn't as tall as I thought he might be,' said another. 'And he had a great sense of humor. I hadn't expected that of him.' On and on they talked, sharing impressions, discussing what they had heard from him. 'Who are you talking about?' I asked. 'Who was it that visited you out under the underpass yesterday?' 'Why, Jesus,' they all responded with one voice. 'If you hadn't been at church, you would have seen him there with us. He's got a thing for the maimed, the blind, and the lame.'" Wellman concludes, "And I was offended." We need to be careful that we don't fail to see Jesus because we were in church, by better appreciating God's idea of a gift. Wellman observes, "During our celebration of Christmas, we sing the beloved carol which says, 'Little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes.' Those of you who have been parents, or those of you who have been brothers and sisters to babies, know that there's no baby in the world who doesn't cry. Babies, if they are healthy, do a lot of crying. And they often cry at the wrong times, in the middle of the sermon, or late at night, or very early in the morning. Babies are demanding. Babies let us know that they're there, here in the world. And we must respond to them. Babies are not only vulnerable, but they demand that their parents totally arrange their lives around their needs. You bring a baby into a settled marriage, and that marriage is going to be transformed. So I'm saying that when the Magi got to the stable in Bethlehem, they did not encounter silent night, holy night. They encountered a babe who was demanding. Babies change lives. This baby certainly did. God's idea of a gift is demanding. We can be certain it will change our lives. I had another bad idea yesterday, and Richard and Michelle DeMocker got suckered into it. I thought we would take some of the children from our outreach to the Hispanic community shopping for their mothers. Of course, when we first got into the store, I was constantly reminding my group that it was about their mothers, that they didn't need to be looking at and picking up the things that they wanted. Then there was the usual pushing and shoving and complaining and whining that comes with any group of kids that age. We somehow managed to get out of Kohl's without me bursting into a rage laced with profanity. It was close. But I promise, I didn't say those things I was thinking. We all got back on the bus, somehow having survived that bad idea. I looked at Richard and Michelle and asked, "Whose dumb idea was that?" But then as we were pulling out of the parking lot, I thought about this sermon and said to myself, "Well, I guess that is what Christmas is about." In an effort to sum up what I'm trying to say this morning about God's idea of a gift, let me share a story with you that I think captures the meaning of our text and this season of Advent. It was recorded by Joseph Clock, who told about a group of refugees who were about to flee from a war zone by hiking over some of the most rugged terrain in their country. As they were about to leave, they were approached by a frail old man and a sickly mother who carried an infant. The leaders of the group agreed to take these rather frail refugees along with the understanding that the men would take turns carrying the baby. Several days into the journey, the old man fell to the ground, saying that he was too exhausted to go on. He pleaded to be left behind. Facing the harsh reality of that situation, the leader of the group reluctantly decided to do just that. Suddenly, the young mother placed her baby in the old man's arms, telling him that it was his turn to carry the baby. And she walked away with a group of men. It was several minutes before she allowed herself to look back. But when she did, she saw the old man stumbling along the trail with the child in his arms. As we make ready to celebrate Christmas, may we understand God's idea of a gift.